Well, this is an exciting day. It's an exciting day, not just for Kim and Sandy, but it's an exciting day for the church family, as well as your family and extended family, too. Many organizations and college fraternities and sororities, they have various initiation rites, should we say, to become a member of those societies. Baptism, if we may look upon it, is like an initiation, should we say, ceremony that is a way that we person becomes a believer. It points to that. And near the end of our service this morning, Kim and Sandy have indicated that they have a desire to be baptized. And baptism is like that initiation ceremony, as I mentioned. And so for that reason, I thought it'd be wise for us to take a break from what we have been doing, is going through the Gospel of Mark, and instead take a look at baptism and try to answer some questions that people might have concerning baptism. I recognize that in a group like this, there are questions that might be like, Is this something that everyone should do? By that I mean here, if you have never been baptized, is this something that you should do? Another question I think is, does this mean now that Kim and Sandy are going to heaven? So like, God forbid, something happened to them on the way to church and they were killed. They wouldn't go to heaven. That's a question that I think some people sometimes have about baptism. And lastly, a question that people might ask, I was baptized as an infant. Is that the same thing as what is going to be happening here this afternoon later this morning with Kim and Sandy? And so I'm going to try to answer those questions. And I'm going to try to answer those questions by asking the question, why baptism? And I have two answers, and you'll see that I put together an insert with various scripture passages for the sake of, you don't have to go and look it up. I gave you references so that later you can go to the Bible and pick it up. And so you see there are the two questions that we are going to answer. And as we answer those two questions, I trust that we'll also answer those three questions that I had answered before, plus many other questions that are there. So first of all, why do we baptize? And my first response is, we baptize because we are commanded to baptize. And you'll see the very first passage of Scripture in that insert is Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So one of the most important reasons why we baptize is because God commands us to baptize. As parents, sometimes we say to our kids, go do something, or whatever it might be. And our kids might come back and say, but why? And our response, especially when they're little, is because I said so. Now, there's nothing wrong with that answer. Sometimes more needs to be given, but there's nothing wrong with that answer. And so, one of the reasons why we baptize is because Jesus commanded us to be baptized. The fact that God commands it is a reason to do it. And because we do that, we baptize. And Jesus commanded all of his followers to be baptized. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That means Jesus is king. Jesus is King. He is our Creator. And He has the right, as our Creator, to command us what to do. Jesus called His followers, and He called them to go and to make disciples. And baptizing is part of that process of being a disciple. A disciple simply means someone who is a learner, someone who learns. And what do we learn about? We learn chiefly about Jesus. Jesus says that we are to teach. The discipler is to teach the disciplee all about Jesus, what He commanded, and to teach them to observe all that He has commanded. Now, obviously, the process of making disciples is a lifelong process. It does not happen overnight. But if I want to know whether I'm being faithful to Jesus, or if a church wants to know if it's being faithful to Jesus, the barometer, shall we say, that God has given us is this command to be about making disciples. Jesus said in John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." We need to understand that if we claim to be followers of Jesus and we claim to love Jesus and yet disobey his commands, if we disobey his command to grow in obedience to him, what we're saying is we really don't love you. And being baptized is just one of those things he has commanded us to do. So to choose not to be baptized is to live in sinful disobedience to God. That sinful disobedience initially might be, "Well, I didn't realize it was a command." That's part of the learning process. Teach to obey all that he commanded. But to go on knowing that Jesus commands me to do something and I'm going to disobey it. It's going to be a life of choosing to disobey Jesus. And at the end of that promise that I read in verse 20, it says, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Everybody likes to feel the presence of God in their life. But if you're choosing to walk in disobedience with God, his presence in your life cannot bring you the joy and peace that you want from his presence. And so Jesus commands us that we are to be disciples. And part of that process of being a disciple, is being baptized. But as Jesus said, it's teaching them to obey all that he commanded. And baptism is just one of those commands. So like last week, we looked at the command that Jesus commands us to do, which is to forgive. That's a command. It's in the Lord's Prayer. We pray that. And so it's a command that we must learn, that we must lean upon God's grace to be able to do, but it is a command. Just like it's a command, there's other things. A command not to forsake the assembling together with other believers, Hebrews chapter 10. And so being a disciple is learning to obey all that Jesus commanded, not just the command to be baptized. In fact, Jesus summarized the entire Old Testament, which is two-thirds of our Bible. He summarized the whole Old Testament, and he summarized it in two commands. One was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the other one was to love your neighbor as yourself. And I don't know how many of you are familiar. There's a daily devotional put out by Oswald Chambers. Maybe some of you have heard of it. But I It's called My Utmost for His Highest, and I love the way he sums up what it means to love God with all your heart, and he puts it this way: to be determined to be absolutely and entirely for God and for God alone. Loving God with all of my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind means that my affections are set on him. It means that my will is set to please him. And if my affections and my will are going to be turned and inspired to follow him, my mind is going to be activated so that I see him as delightful in my life. So that I have a desire. Oh, yeah, Jesus, you are great. Of course I want to follow you. This December, 22 years ago, I married my wife. And I married her because I loved her. But after 22 years of knowing her far more, my love for her has grown. And that's why Jesus commands us to love him with our mind, because the more we get to know him, the more our love for him will grow. That's one of the reasons why we do our Sunday school and our Christian living class. But Jesus equally calls us to love our neighbor as ourself. And many of you are familiar with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in the Good Samaritan there, the priest and the Levite, neither one of them were interested in loving their neighbor, the man who was hurt, because of the cost that it was going to cost them. And Jesus calls us to love our neighbor, which, you know, is obviously is going to cause us to have a concern that goes beyond just our family and friends. Now, again, let me emphasize the fact that being a disciple is not something that takes place overnight. There's a difference between a sprinter and a marathoner. I can sprint for 10 yards. And some of you are like me, you can sprint for 10 yards. But a marathoner, and we have at least one in this church that is a marathoner, they can run for miles and they pace themselves. Now, I might be able to beat that marathoner in a 10-yard sprint. But I guarantee you, if you're going to run a marathon, it takes a continuous pace. And we need to recognize that there are times when our hearts, our wills, and our minds do not want, are just not excited about the journey of following Christ. But being a disciple means that I'm not going to just be a sprinter, I'm going to continue on in that marathon. And one of the reasons why God saves us and puts us in a church is because in those times when we are weak, then another brother or sister can come along and help us in our journey there. Well, number two, why baptism? And we baptize because baptism proclaims our union with Christ. You notice in that Great Commission there, Jesus commanded his disciples to baptize people into the name of Jesus. By that, Jesus just simply means that when we baptize somebody into the name of Jesus, they are identifying with him. That identification takes place at conversion when a person places their trust in Christ alone to save them from God's wrath for their sin. As I mentioned, God is our creator. And as our creator, he has commanded us to be holy. Leviticus 19:2. Be holy because I am holy. But none of us are holy. I'm far from holy. And no matter how hard we might try, we will never be holy. We break God's commands. Some of us are able to break God's commands before we get out of bed in the morning. The rest of us can break God's commands before coffee break. Now, we might not look upon our sin as a big deal, but God does. And the fact that we break God's law daily means that over the course of a lifetime, a course of an average lifetime, that means that we've broken God's law over 25,000 times. Now, that's if you just break it once. Now, most of us, myself included, we break it multiple times. That means probably over the course of a lifetime, we've broken God's commands over a quarter of a million times. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you think the city of Northfield would feel if you got a quarter of a million citations from them? Would they look upon it as minor? No. And God is our creator. And so to sin is not small against a holy God. And that is why there's not a one of us that has any hope of ever standing before God holy in his presence. But the good news of the gospel is that God offers us a solution to our problem. And the solution to our problem is Jesus. Jesus took on our sin, and at baptism, I put a scripture passage there, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 4. At baptism, it's a symbol, or it's a picture of what that act of trust looks like on the inside, spiritually speaking, what it looks like on the inside. Let me read that passage. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So normally, apart from health reasons, the normal way we would do baptism is immersion. Sandy, because of health reasons, we're not going to do that. But baptism is a picture of what Christ has already done in the life of a believer. The going under the water is a picture of a believer's death with Christ. So that when Christ died on the cross, my sin was, he paid the price for my sin. But coming out of the water symbolizes what happens when a believer receives Christ. They are raised to newness of life. The cleansing power of the blood of Jesus makes us new creatures. As I mentioned there, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We talked about it in the opening service. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. The blood of Christ is what washes away all of our sin. And so, because the blood of Christ washes away all of a believer's sin, God can now look at a believer and he sees righteousness. So going back to my question at the beginning, does baptism mean that Kim and Sandy, if they were to die before they got baptized, does that mean that they wouldn't go to heaven? No. Because baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is a picture of what God has already done in the life of a believer. It's a faith in what Christ has done that has saved a person. It doesn't matter whether that baptism took place as an infant or as an adult. Baptism doesn't save you. It's faith in Christ that saves you. And Christ commands his followers who are trusting in Christ alone to be baptized. And so baptism is a picture, again, it is a picture of what God has done in our lives. In just a minute, we are going to baptize. But I want to ask, what should be our takeaway from this morning? First of all, takeaway, the first takeaway is if you're a believer here this morning, and by believer, I mean you are trusting in Christ alone to pay the righteousness, to pay the price for your sin against God so that you can stand before God holy and righteous in His sight, and you've never been baptized, then Christ's command to you is to be baptized. And to choose not to be baptized is to choose to be disobedient to God. Second, if you're a believer and you've been baptized, but you've forgotten that part of being baptized means that you're a disciple, and being a disciple means that you are a learner. If your heart has grown cold towards learning, then look upon Kim and Sandy's baptism and remember, oh yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. And ask for His mercy and His help in your life to encourage you to grow in your life and to recognize that it's not something that you can do on your own. And some of you, I'm guessing, might say, well, I don't need to be baptized because I've never claimed to be a follower of Jesus. You got to recognize, when I read that first passage, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Jesus didn't say He has authority over believers. He obviously has authority over believers, but He has authority over all. And one day, all people will stand before God and all will give an account before Him because God is our Creator. He is also our judge. And the Bible says that God now declares all people everywhere that they should repent. Why? Because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man, Jesus, whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. The fact that Jesus is alive today and He is seated at the right hand of God gives proof that one day God will be your judge and He will punish eternally those who reject Him. To repent is just to acknowledge your sin before God and to acknowledge that Jesus paid the price for your sin. You see, it doesn't matter how great your sin is. What matters is how great your Savior is. If you're an ice fisherman, you know that strong faith in weak ice will get you wet. But weak faith in strong ice will keep you dry. And Jesus is a great Savior. And so it doesn't matter how great your faith is. It matters who's the object of your faith. And at baptism, baptism is a church service, because at baptism, we as God's people, we celebrate the work that God has done in Kim and Sandy's life. And so on that note, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, we're going to take up an offering and going to invite Sandy first to come and to be baptized. And we'll do Sandy up here, and then I'm going to ask Kim to join me back there. So let's pray.